Well, we give you a warm welcome to all those that are listening this evening to Castlefield Church's evening service on the internet. It's unusual for us all that we aren't meeting together, but we know that God is with us wherever we are. Shall we pray as we begin? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we get to worship you together. We pray, our Lord, that you would be with us. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts from your word. And Lord, though it's unusual to us, we know that you can bless us. Lord, we know that you can be in every place. So we do pray that you would be with us then, Lord, and bless us wherever we are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing our first hymn together at the same time using the audio that's been provided via the WhatsApp groups, or if you want to search for Behold Our God by Sovereign Grace Music on the internet, then you'll be able to sing along. So shall we sing together with one another in our homes? I've been reflecting on the realities of the changes that we've experienced in life over recent few weeks. And many things have been removed from our lives, haven't they? As we previously knew them, if only for a period. In 1 month, we've gone from normal life to lockdown life. And this has given us gaps in our physical lives. But also, I think it's much more than that. From what I've seen and what I've heard, people are feeling that life is a little emptier and a little less full of purpose. The question that I've been reflecting on over the past few days is, how are men and women going to fill this new emptiness they have in life? Well, some are filling themselves with anxiety and or anger. And I can understand why. If all our hopes and our dreams are built on the things of this life, then the situation that we're currently facing with COVID-19 poses a huge problem to us, as it takes away our hope for the future. Now, you might be saying, well, rightly so. Life is on pause. I hate it. The future looks bleak for me if I've got to do this for 6 months. We may have issues with work and with home life and family and all those things. And then residual hope just starts to drain from you. But why is hope even important, you may be asking? Well, hope matters for us, doesn't it? Because in the day-to-day life, we need to be able to see that the other side of the darknesses that we experience in the moment, there will be a way out of them. We need a belief that one day, a tomorrow, will be better than the today we're experiencing. Or else, we may as well just give up. On the 17th of December 1927, a US Navy vessel, the S-4, was surfacing after a period of operation at depth. And it was tragically struck by a US Coast Guard vessel, and it was severely damaged and sank to the bottom of the sea. There was a frantic mission to save the seamen's lives, but the weather at that time of year was so severe, and it was a terribly challenging rescue. The divers who sought to get to them were wondering whether there was anyone left alive, when suddenly they heard a sound from the hull. And soon they realised that it wasn't just the hull creaking, but it was Morse code. They listened desperately to hear what the message was. I-S space T-H-E-R-E space A-N-Y space H-O-P-E end. They had asked the poignant question, is there any hope? The answer that went back to them from the captain was, there is hope, everything possible is being done. But sadly and tragically, that message and therefore their hope was misplaced and all lives were lost. Hope was the one thing that the sailors wanted and needed as they were stuck in that submarine on the ocean floor. A hope that things might get better for them. And it's so sad to think that it was a false hope that would not deliver and things would not improve tomorrow or any other day for those men. It was a desperate situation for them, and they craved hope. And whether we know it or not, it's equally as desperate for men and women when hope for the future is placed in the things of life, and they categorically fail to deliver happiness and, more importantly, peace with God. Just observe the surge in mental health illness in our society, and tragically, the rate of suicide in people of all ages when hope has just run out and they can see no hope for the future. Hope is important because it gives us something to live for. Now, I don't know who's listening out there. You may be someone who doesn't believe in God at all and are thinking, well, what else is there? Where else is hope to be found but to hold on to the things that we can touch and that we can see? Well, hopefully tonight we'll be able to look together at a different path that God offers us. Now, you might be out there tonight as a Christian, someone who has had their sins forgiven through Jesus Christ's death on the cross, and you may be feeling semi-smug and saying in your head, not me, Gov. But on my own reflections, I would confess to you that I have known odd moments and odd feelings of hollowness and hopelessness in my heart, even though I am a Christian. Deep down in the depths, not something that I'd ever allow to be seen or expressed to someone, as I know that it's wrong. But all the same, I felt those thoughts and those feelings sometimes tug away inside me. So the challenging question for Christians this evening is, where do I put my hope? Really, how different am I from the world around me? God in his sovereignty has created an opportunity here for us all, Christian or non-Christian, to reflect in a unique way in modern history. And I believe that we have to do that. We have to reflect on what life is about and where our hopes for the future are rested. But I'd like us to turn to a single verse of the Bible tonight. It's in Romans 15 and verse 13. If you want to turn to that. Paul, the author of Romans, the book, he knew hardship as a reality of life. We can see in 2 Corinthians, another book in the Bible, in chapter 11 and verses 24 to 27, that he had been whipped 5 times, he'd been beaten with rods 3 times, he'd been stoned 3 times, he'd been shipwrecked. He'd been floating in the sea for a day and a night. He'd known weariness. He'd known toil. He'd known sleeplessness. He'd known hunger. He'd known thirst. Paul knew what it was like to experience difficulties, but he didn't give up because he had a hope. And he's an example to all, as if he had hope in his circumstances, then we can too. Shall we read Romans 15 and verse 13? Together. It's only a short verse and it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now we're going to look this evening at 2 key aspects of this hope that Paul has and he wanted others to have. They are the source of hope and the basis of hope. So we'll look at the source of hope first. Well, gone are the days, aren't they, when you can hear something through media channels and can immediately believe that it's true. The phrase fake news is rife in our society today. It's used to describe something that's shocking or amazing, that causes a huge reaction from people. But it is relatively easy, actually, to show that it's total rubbish. It's got so bad that the BBC website has a section and a team totally dedicated to debunking news that has gone viral. It's ridiculous. If you go onto this section of the website, there's reams and reams of news stories that have clearly been shown to be total rubbish with about 5 minutes of research. Yet they've been read and believed by millions of people. The source of the information was flaky and it couldn't be trusted. Now, I'm informed that Journalism 101 is that you must check your sources, else otherwise you'll be made to look like a fool. The point is, without knowing the source of something, it isn't dependable. And it's the same for hope in life. Paul had hope, and he wanted others to have hope. But he makes it very clear where that hope comes from. It comes from the God of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who made our galaxy with 100 billion stars in it, with our galaxy being one of at least 100 billion galaxies, with each one of those galaxies taking a ray of light 100 years to cross. When we hear the words, "May the God of hope," at the start of this verse, we know that it isn't something flaky. It isn't like fake news which has no source to speak of. It comes from an infinite well of hope, as it comes from the God who created everything, who has infinite power, infinite wisdom. He is everywhere and has been around literally forever and will not perish. Just take a moment to think about that. This is the source of true hope. We'll come on to think about the basis for that hope in a moment, but just think of the source. There is no chance of God losing his power, and he has promised that he will give us hope. But for this to make any difference to your life and to mine, you have to know and believe that there is a God who is like this, for there to be any hope of hope. An atheist view of hope, this is Bertrand Russell, a known atheist philosopher, he says, "Man's origin, his growth, his hopes and his fears, his loves and his beliefs are but the outcome of accidental collocations of atoms. That no fire, no heroism, no intensity of thought and feeling can preserve an individual life beyond the grave. That all the labours of the ages, all the devotion, all the inspiration, all the noonday brightness of human genius are destined to extinction in the vast death of the solar system, and that the whole temple of man's achievements must inevitably be buried beneath the debris of a universe in ruins. Only within the scaffolding of these truths, only on the firm foundation of unyielding despair, can the soul's habitations henceforth be safely built." Which one are you going to choose? Are you going to build your hope upon the accidental collocation of atoms, as Bertrand Russell talks about here? Are you going to take an atheistic view that says there is no God, and you're going to build your hope upon the things of this life, which are purely an accident and have come about by chance? Or the alternative is a worldview that believes in the God of the Bible, that believes there is a purpose to everything that happens around us, and that there is a creator who has made this world and has made us. Which one are you going to choose? Because if you don't choose the latter of those, there can be no hope. Chance doesn't offer hope. So we've looked at the source of hope, and now I'd like us just to look at the basis of hope. What does Paul want to be the truth for all of us? Even at tricky times like now, when things do seem difficult and people are suffering, Paul wants us to have joy and peace as Christians. Paul doesn't want us to be full of anxiety and despair, or feeling empty because life is paused. He wants us to be full of joy and peace, abounding in hope. But this isn't a joy and a peace and a hope based on the click of your fingers and be happy. It has a basis on which joy and peace can be felt truly, and it is built on believing. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Believing in what, you may ask? Well, it's the message of the Bible from front to back. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the redemption story that's described so beautifully in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes on him shall have everlasting life. The things that we've done wrong against God and against one another, forgiven, salvation, freedom by the gift of the grace of God. This is the key to all joy and peace, faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Knowing and believing that you are right with God and that you have an everlasting life to look forward to. So where is the joy tangibly to be found in believing? Well, personally, I know from my own experiences the immense joy that can come from knowing that my sins are forgiven. September 2004, I will never forget that moment of pure joy of knowing that I've been saved by grace. And that I don't deserve salvation one bit. That amazing thought that I've been given everlasting life by grace. A relationship with God by grace. A dependable God to call my Father in times of trouble by grace. A searching question for you to think about tonight is whether you have ever known this joy. Is it alien to you? Have you known your sins forgiven? Joy cannot be dependent on things of this world, because eventually something or someone will fail you, and it will leave a great hole. But not this joy in believing. It is a completed work that cannot be undone, and it is unchanging, with a God as its guarantor. It will not rot, it will not perish, it will not escape. It will not get cancelled, it will not be missed, or it will not be lost. Joy, yours, for free, if you'll take it, by asking for forgiveness and believing on Jesus Christ. We all know that we are not perfect, and if there is a God who is perfect, we must answer to him, and we must recognise that we are not right before him. And for us to have that joy, we must believe, and we must have that forgiveness. If we are Christians tonight, then I'd remind you to meditate on those wonderful truths that I've just mentioned. Are we being starved of joy because we're forgetting about the believing and what that means to us? Are we getting dragged into the world? Are we getting dragged into the things of work and the things of our homes and the things of our families that are taking that joy away from us? Please don't forget about the joy in believing. It nourishes hope and it brings joy. Secondly, I want us to think about the peace that we get in believing. Well, there's so many things that I could talk about to do with peace. I can't do them all justice this evening. But the ones that spring to mind in this context, I would share with you. There is peace in knowing that God is in control of everything that is happening right now and throughout all of history. The tomorrow that we might look forward to is his making, not ours or anyone else's. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, it's a verse in the Bible. It reminds us, as God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." What a summary of the peace on offer at this time of uncertainty due to COVID-19. A future that we can look forward to, wrought by God, full, overflowing with hope. The second part of peace that I thought about is there is peace in knowing our eternal destination is known and secure. Everlasting life in heaven and not hell as we deserve. That is such a huge part of the hope that a Christian can have. Knowing that this world is not all there is. There is definitely a better tomorrow than today. As one day we will enter his presence in heaven and we will worship him forevermore. What a glorious, glorious day that will be. So the crux of the matter, the basis of hope for the Christian, that tomorrow is going to be better than today. Why can we abound in hope and be full of joy and peace? Well, it's because of the gospel and the Lord Jesus' saving work. Are you full of anxiety and fear because of COVID-19 and what the future may hold? Truly, this is a terrible disease, and it's to be lamented. Make no mistake. But it shouldn't define life if we have the God of hope filling our hearts with joy and peace in believing, that we might abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a hope that's built upon our own strength. It is a hope that is built by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. There's a couple of practical thoughts just as I come to a close. Some practical things just to think about. One do and one don't. The first thing is, from a do perspective, immerse ourselves in the Bible with the extra time that we have. I've had some lovely times this week looking at all the verses about hope in the Bible, and it's been a great encouragement to me. It's the rock on which we can base our faith in God and how we live our lives day by day. Immerse ourselves in the scriptures. The don't that I have is, don't immerse yourself in the content of the internet all the time. Whether that be COVID-19 things, life at home, social media stuff, how awesome some people's lives are versus yours, stick to the things which are written by the Rock of Ages, who truly understands the why of all of these things and is shaping it for his glory. To close, I'm going to read Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8, as they are wonderfully practical messages, wonderfully practical verses to us in a time like this. They remind us of our need to read the scriptures. They remind us of our need for prayer and our dependence upon God and our practical responsibilities to guard our minds from the thief of joy and peace. Those verses say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Shall we sing our final hymn together? It's on the sheets that provided, and again, you can search for it on the internet. It's When Peace Like a River. It's an older hymn and a great encouragement to us. So shall we sing When Peace Like a River together? Shall we, as we come to a close from our service this evening, pray that it would have been a blessing to you to think about how the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace in believing. Shall we pray with one another? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have offered us joy, you have offered us peace, you have offered us abundance of hope. But it isn't just based on anything, Lord, it is based on believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that hope that has been bought for us, that we may one day, because our sins have been forgiven, one day we will be in heaven with you forevermore. No more tears, no more suffering, no more pain. We will be with you forevermore. Lord, bless our hearts with these wonderful thoughts. Lord, and we pray that you would be with us for the rest of this week. Lord, we pray that you would be with us, keep us safe. Lord, keep our eyes fixed upon you. Lord, that we would not get distracted of the things of this world, but that we would keep you at the centre of our minds, Lord, and all that you have done for us and the hope that you have given us for the future, whatever that may be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.